Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the beast and the best in the world. Paul, say something stupid.
I look in the mirror and what do I see? Some kind of slacker looking back at me. Ain't nothing lost, can't be found, and it's never too late to change.
Man, Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling. I do believe, yes, dig it, yeah.
Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is a man who is grinding gears. He is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico. How are you?
I'm fantastically getting my gears grinded daily. I hate people, except for those who follow me on Twitter, at DanLaw83.
Nice segue, and...
Thank you.
With us from the start, I believe he's feeling much better this week. It is Omega Squad Chris Green.
I got better. Yes, I'm feeling better.
Nice reference.
Yes.
I'll give
anyway,
you that one.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. People can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Now it's been one heck of a week in the world of professional wrestling.
Is that what you call that?
Yes. Mm. We of course had the August 1st warning was revealed. And I'm going to start talking about this. But, Dan, I think it's time that you, we grind some gears here. In just a second.
Well, it appears I've been fired. Well, as long as I'm no longer working here, let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears? You, America. You.
Grinds my gears in general, but we're going to keep it wrestling this week. This is going to be a quick one. We're going to segue right into our discussion because I'd love to hear what you MMA boys would like feel about this. The poor execution by TNA, in my opinion, of the Tito Ortiz Rampage action. Not learning from your mistake. I'm so... Not learning from your mistakes in the past of a poor execution of an angle, which you've now ruined the whole thing, and it's going to go nowhere. And as I said off air, we can all, not watch TV, Impact Wrestling for about 4 months, because, quite frankly, it took me out of it. How do you guys feel?
Go ahead, Omega. I'll let you
field
this one.
Well, I mean, I guess coming from you know, from my standpoint, it's just, you know, I actually tuned in TNA to see what August 1st was. I waited. I watched the whole show. And I get to the end, and I get Tito Ortiz. I get a guy who was over the hill 2 years ago in MMA.
Hmm.
Going, never really worked a professional wrestling match in his life. Why do I want to see him? Why? I don't understand it. Especially when you just announced the fight. He's going to actually fight for real on Bellator. You know?
It was
the night before.
Dean, didn't you point out that it was actually the day before?
The day before on the very on the very same network, as Omega was saying. So, from my point of view, coming from both perspectives, it's just a very odd thing to think that these two guys. I mean, what is Tito like? 1-7 in his last 8
yeah.
fights, something like that.
Something like that.
Is it legitimately 1-7?
Yes. His lone win, he luckily got Bader in a front guillotine and choked him out.
I mean,
his follow up to that, he got destroyed with a knee by Rashad Evans. So I mean, he couldn't even take the momentum of that fight, and there was a lot of momentum coming from that fight, and win another fight.
I mean, from outside MMA, it was, you know, Rampage Jackson was a name I'd known. I've never watched a fight in my life. And the same thing with Tito Ortiz, and there's a few others, you know, Henderson and Chuck, whatever the hell his name is, Chuck Liddell, the alcoholic, as I call it, the brain-dead alcoholic. But that's it?
Yeah, exactly. This is what you get to make me excited about TNA. Really? That's it.
I was thinking 15 other people, but I wasn't thinking that guy.
It could have been any number of other people that were actual professional wrestlers, and I might have been more intrigued.
It might have been. I think this is a bad idea to throw that in there on his first angle in the company.
Is he a part of TNA, though?
Well, no. That's the thing. He's not. He's part of what's the company? It's not
Bellator.
No. I mean the company that owns Spike TV and stuff.
Viacom.
Yeah, it is Viacom. Okay, so he's a Viacom employee. He's not a TNA guy, but you put him on TNA. You're like, here, this is where you're going to spend a lot of your time, and you're going to fight Tito Ortiz.
It's the trouble with cross promotion. Such as that. You're going to take the wrestling fans who don't really care about an MM angle, a fight, whatever you want to call it, being an angle during something else. It's very strange.
It was like having musicians wrestle in the 90s.
That did happen.
Who gives a crap? The Misfits were on Nitro for weeks. I don't think I watched one of the matches. That was the time he got up and got a drink or went to the bathroom.
That did happen, of course. David Arquette, there's a lot of similarities here.
That never happened.
It did.
I refuse.
It hasn't been Benoit. Go ahead, Omega.
Well, I want to believe that this wasn't TNA's doing, that TNA was forced into this by Viacom. But
they're dumb.
But, yeah. But, you know, their history tells me that they probably think this is brilliant.
It's awesome. We should have Tito Ortiz coming. Oh, somebody call Dixie. Somebody call her dad. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
A big misfire. However, on the flip side, a lot of buzz was created, whether it's good buzz, bad buzz, people are talking about it. So on the flip side, it is publicity.
Is anybody going to talk about it after this week?
Well,
no, I'm going to want to know when Angle's getting out of rehab. I would have driven into, I would have had a car accident too after that. Yeah, forget it.
Dan, that's just
funny.
Slightly adequate. So, I guess we're in agreement that it wasn't the best way to use Tito Ortiz.
I tried. I was like, oh, they. Oh, never mind. You know?
How about you, Omega? I mean, are you at least looking forward to a pay-per-view battle between these two?
No, you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, not if I'm going to pay for it. I'm not going to pay for that, unless it comes in really cheap and there's something else to interest me.
I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Well, John Fitch is supposed to be on that card, so...
Oh, really?
Potentially, there's supposed to be... There might be an actual MMA fight I might want to watch on that pay-per-view, but it's not going to be Rampage versus Tito Ortiz.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
For somebody who's not educated well at all in the MMA world, have they fought each other?
They never have, no.
Okay, so that... Maybe they're going for that, like, I mean, to
this
former star and a current star MMA will finally match up. Because other than that, I don't get it.
The reason they never fought, though, is because when Rampage first came into UFC, Tito was already on a downturn.
That's what you say, he was dead, wasn't he?
Tito Ortiz was big for UFC. That's no exaggeration. Is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
Oh, no.
You're
right.
He was big from... What was it, Omega? Like 2001 to 2004?
Yeah, I would call it something about that, yeah.
Possibly 2005 would be where it ends. Then he had a lot of trouble with Dana White. Obviously still has a lot of trouble with Dana White. Comes back, and by that time, Rampage was already on top of the light heavyweight world. So it's just a very odd
Rampage.
Well,
light,
if you think about it, I think
light heavyweight. So that's 205 pounds.
If you look at the records, Tito left the company in 2006, and then Jackson came in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and then by the time, you know, and then they've each had their own issues, they each had their own careers, and they just never met up. In the intervening time frame, so but they're one's 35, one's 38. They're both have lost their last three fights. Why do I care? I mean, other than name value, the name value is important to Bellator. It may get the card wreck kind of crowd.
Do you think that they're going to get at least 250,000 buys out of this?
No.
It depends on the price point. And the price points I'm hearing are like $35 to $45. No way.
Do you think anybody will capture, and I don't want to say the magic because it wasn't that amazing, but, I mean, do you think anybody will be able to repeat what Ken Shamrock did?
No.
As far as the transition. I mean, you're looking at a former NWA world champion.
I would say no.
Do you think that's what they're trying to... I'm sorry, Dean, go.
But Shamrock was a different type of athlete. These guys are MMA athletes that happen to fall into a company that's willing to take them. Rather than Shamrock actively looking to go to WWE after he got a good offer.
I mean, because I enjoyed the hell out of watching that guy fight.
He was a different type of athlete. I think, Omega, you would agree.
Yeah, I think so. And he was coming in at more of his peak athletic performance, you know.
True, very true.
I still love watching that Lion's Den match.
Was that against Blackman or the Owen Hart one?
No, the Owen Hart one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I mean, him against Blackman was, you know.
I thought it was a dungeon match, not a Lion's Den.
SummerSlam 98? Or 99?
Were they in a cage?
Yeah, SummerSlam 98 was it. I thought it was Lion's Den, man. I don't remember. The one that was up in the MSG Theater.
I don't know.
They had it on top of MSG, which is in a little tiny theater.
I don't know. But we do have our first guest. He has been waiting anxiously, I'm sure, because he is back in the main event in CZW after many, many, many years. I think it's three, maybe. But... he is back. He's in the main event of Tangled Web, along with his partner, Scotty Vortex. And they are taking on the Nation of Intoxication. That's Danny Havoc, who we heard a lot about last week. And Lucky 13. So we are going to get him on right after this.
Oh, love of drug dealers. Got no love for the other side. Fuck them tricks. Any repercussions, junior mafia spit clips all the time. Big Papa kicks the war around. Raw flow, and that's how it goes.
Come on.
My nigga singing things, tamarinding chains, cross necklace, igloo, ringing things. For the bitches, you see them rims spinning grins, that shit with the bee trimmed and wings. Heavy and large of silver spurs to rack, on the road to the riches, more furs to drag. More niggas to kill, then birds to bag, hit the jeweler and splurge the tap.
All right, it is the Notorious One, Drew Blood. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good, man. That's some throwback music right there.
Hey, you're the Notorious One, so I found some notorious
Dan,
music.
I'm sorry, Dan, did I hear you say capture the magic?
That's why I said not really magic, because it wasn't that amazing.
Do you still watch the Mickey Mouse Club?
Sometimes when I'm alone.
Okay. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, I got to find something that came me.
Oh, we are doing well. You're, of course, with Dan and Omega and myself and Drew.
Hey, how you doing?
After many years, you are finally back, and what a way to get back. You are going to be in Tangled Web. I mean, is this what you wanted after sitting on the side? Well, not really sitting on the sidelines, but you were still active as a referee, but is this really what you wanted to get back into?
Well, what a way to come back, you know what I mean? You know, I can't get a, you know, a couple curtain jerkers here and there month after month, and I get thrown right into the mix of probably one of the most dangerous matches in the company. You know, me and Tangle Whip 6. But I don't know. It was kind of a shocker. I wasn't really expecting it, but I guess I gotta do what I gotta do.
has there been any hesitation on your part or anybody else's part after being out of that company for so long, being thrown into Tangled Web?
Not really, because 3 years. I know what the company is capable of, and I know kind of insanity they toss you into. So was I shocked? No, not really.
What about help me, Dean. Hesitation. Was there any hesitation on your part? Are you just going to go for it?
Well, you know, there was always hesitation after that best of the best injury to doing things, but I think I took that time off and helped me prepare mentally for a lot of things and what not to expect. But depending on the amount and you should see some of the stuff that I've been pitched to already for Saturday. That it's going to be a lot of barbed wire.
Oh boy!
So
I'm going to go as far as say and pull a spoiler. There's going to be a barbed wire ironing board in the match.
Oh good lord!
Oh Jesus!
So now, anything pressed, bring to the show.
Pressed with holes in it.
Yes. Now, of course, last year's Tangled Web was Tremont and Hyde.
Ass out all day. All ass all day.
Yeah.
Tremont's ass fell out when he fucking hung up.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but...
I'm going to shoot right out and bring it up, man. It was awesome.
His
ass was so white, it was almost transparent.
I'm going to go throw
up. You know what? The funny thing about that was his arm is entangled in this barbed wire. He fell, of course, from a tower through barbed wire onto a table. I thought he broke his neck. Anyway, the first thing he does when he finally hits the ground, because he was hung up for a little bit, was he pulls up his shorts rather than.
Oh, yeah.
His arm is like gushing blood at this point. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's a little embarrassing. You take this crazy ass bump, and what happens? You're hanging with your ass hanging out, and you can't do nothing about it.
That was the first thing on his mind, I'm sure.
On top of that, he needed 26 stitches on his left cheek.
Probably looks better now.
So anyway, so you're saying that this year's Tangled Web is constructed differently.
I'm definitely wearing more than one pair of boxer shorts.
you gotta super glue some higher up. Now anyway,
it's good humor because I've been nervous all week about this. So
I'm sure. Now you said you saw this structure, so it's completely different than last year.
Different is not the word. What is the word I'm looking for?
I mean,
outrageous.
Do you guys get to look at do you guys look at it ahead of time, or you just walk in that night and, hey, there it is?
I've seen the drawing and the blueprint for it, and I really don't need to see it until I go out there and wrestle, because if I see it beforehand, I'm probably going to end up going home. I'm like, screw this shit, I ain't doing it. No, but it's not going to be disappointing at all. Trust me, it's totally something different from any Tangle Web you've seen.
Now, of course, let's go back 3 years. You were in a loser leave CZW match with,
yeah.
And that's where this whole story kind of starts. Now, let's talk about that match. What exactly happened? Because you were on the losing side of things.
Well, you know, him being my best friend and tag partner for over 10 years, you know, I decided to, you know, it was time to take some time off, but I was convinced, you know, that I should retire. So, you know, I wanted to wrestle him, you know, and that's it. But, you know, the funny thing is, during the course of the match, he didn't want to pin me. He's like, I'm not doing it, I'm not pinning you. So, you know, but we did that, you know. Then after that, you know, seems like you made some new friends.
Mm-hmm.
I was less involved with the hangouts, and, you know, I mean, I helped them win the goddamn world title. I was the one to count of three. And, you know, I didn't get invited to no party or no celebration like that. I just drink a beer with the Briscoes, and here I am yelling at DJ.
Now,
You know, the Nation of Intoxication became his new, you know, buddies, and, you know, was quite jealous, I may say.
So, of course, the Nation of Intoxication, that started with, it was Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, and Lucky
and
13.
And
Scotty Vortex. Now, somewhere along the line, there was a falling out there with Scotty.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what happened there. They probably all got drunk and had an argument about something stupid, probably over beer pong.
It very well could have been. But
who knows,
earlier,
with them guys.
Earlier this year, you were making a lot of questionable calls in matches revolving around specifically Devin Moore.
Yeah, well, in a sense, you know, I was pulling some, you know, Mickey and Rocky stuff. I was looking out for his best interests, you know, he didn't get seriously injured as champion. But towards the end, the controversial calls, you know, I was getting a little sick and tired of their blatant disregard for other people, on top of that being intoxicated. So, you know, take matters in your own hands, you know. It's what my job was. I didn't care what anybody else thought. So
this led,
they didn't seem to like some of my calls either, but I really don't care at this point.
Now, a tournament of death.
My referee days are over.
Oh, completely over?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I'm back in full force. You remember 2009, man? Pinky, me and Pinky, man. You're talking to that Drew Bud now. That's what you're gonna see.
Balls to the wall. That's what I say now.
As long as you don't see pants falling off and balls to the wall. Fine.
The tallest you almost midget you ever see. Now what's that mean?
No, I was just going to say, this, of course, Tournament of Death this year, there was a scaffold match between Devin Moore and Drake Younger, and you said both guys were out. I thought that was the right call. Neither could continue by the 10 count.
Look, man, I'm sitting there watching. I've been watching them two beat the crap out of each other for years. You know, enough's enough. You know, so I just decided to throw the match out. There's no reason for them to even go any further.
But Maven Bentley restarted the match.
Well, no, then that obviously he didn't like my call, you know, but I thought, you know, why are these guys going to kill each other when you got, you know, a full tournament ahead of them? And, you know, seemed like Devin started to get a little careless at one point, so I decided, you know, in the best interest of others, you know, it was I threw it out.
Yes, and then, of course,
you know, regard and lack of attention he pays to attention during matches because of, you know, the hype, a lot of partying these guys do. You know, sometimes you get a little worried about the safety of others in the rings with these guys, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, we spoke with Rory Mondo last week. He's not happy with Danny Havoc either.
Well, who isn't Rory happy with? He's miserable.
Well, that could be the case. I'm not sure.
What's he crying about?
He didn't like the fact he was almost set on fire.
he's lucky he wasn't set on fire. Let's just put it that way.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, he certainly.
It's Rory. Come on, man. Like, you know, like, did you ever watch Rory Mondo versus Drake Younger?
I did see those matches. Yes.
Yeah. They're very painful, in my opinion.
It's a matter of respect. That's.
I'll give Rory credit, man. Rory had a great match with Ron Mathis a few months ago.
Yeah. So, but anyway, getting back to your story here. Enough about Rory.
Well, you keep talking about Rory, so you know, we might as well keep telling stories.
Well, that was my fault. I brought it up.
Ask away, brother. What's going on, man?
So, of course, last month you cost Devin Moore the match when you got involved, still as a referee, still as an official, and
yeah.
Joe Gacy gets the win over Devin Moore. Why did you do that? What point were you trying to make?
Joe Gacy needed a win, and I figured, you know, why not? No, I'm kidding. like I said, you know, during the course of last month, the TOD, actually, Devin was quite bitter at me. So I've been asking them guys for a year and a half to, you know, pull some strings and get me back to CZW because, you know, if anybody could talk to GJ, I figured one of them three would. But, you know, of course, they forget. And, you know, Drake called me and said, hey, man, you know, I can get you in, man. And one shot, DJ hired me back. And, it was my after sitting home 3 years thinking about, you know, why am I retired, you know, and who cost me to retire. And I'm getting tired of hearing who's better, who's in whose shadow out of Notorious Inc. And I finally snapped, so I think it's time to prove that now.
Now, the only thing is, Devin Moore is not involved in this match. Devin Moore is involved in another match.
Oh, yeah.
So, are you going to take out your aggression on the other two members of Nation of Intoxication, or what's your game plan? I mean,
that's just an added bonus. My thing is here, I've been watching Devin, and I know Devin, and he's not wrestling to his capability at all. You know, let's not sugarcoat it. He's lazy. He's lazy. And what I want to do is I'm not going to wrestle the Devin Moore now. I want him to think about, you know, what he's capable of, and I want to see the notorious scumbag Devin Moore. I want to see the actual Devin Moore that I know when I wrestle him. Because then I'll know he means business. And that's the only way we're going to prove who's better, who is in whose shadow at a Notorious Inc. Or should I say, who is the Marty Jannetty and who is the Shawn Michaels.
And that still hasn't been proven in your mind?
No. He always says he carried me through all those years. You know, I beg to differ on certain circumstances. So this is the only way I can prove it. And in fact, this is the only way I can make an impact back at CZW if I want to be successful here in this company again.
Now, go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, don't you think any of the work you've done for other companies in the last year has proven anybody else wrong?
It could, it may, and it may not prove anything to anybody. It could mean, you know, diddly squat to some people. So why not go back to the source where I made my name and, you know, restake my claim?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Now, does this mean we're not going to see the Notorious One on the independent scene anytime soon?
Oh, that's not true at all. I got plenty of, you know, pinky ass whoopings to give out and On Point still.
That's true. I did forget about On Point.
Man.
I did, I have
no idea what happened to me in New Moon. You know, I'm so devastated over the fact that I'm not getting booked there. It's kind of like heartbreaking.
I have no new information since last I talked. But however,
excuse me.
However,
did you catch that, Dan? Yeah, I thought you did.
No, I caught a bad cold. I got it from somewhere in the hole.
Now,
what's that? It's called sarcasmitis, right?
Yeah. Oh, I got. Oh, it's bad. It runs in the family. Oh my God.
Moving along to On Point, of course, on the 28th of September, the rivalry continues. Now, your tag team partner Xavier Cross, you're going to be with Lowdy, and you brought in a caveman.
Dude, I know Lowdy's a financial miracle, but I never said he was an Einstein. We just picked up a dog.
That's very true.
It's pretty much, you know, the Hughes pet now. I'm going to be in the locker room. This dude's going to be shitting all over the place. It's a freaking caveman, for Christ's sake.
So you got the caveman on your team, and you're taking on Pinky Sanchez. Who are you taking on? I know it's Pinky Sanchez on the other side.
That Mike Drazdick and his tag partner.
Oh, okay, the EYFBO.
XYZBNDA, or whatever the hell her name is. But I've been doing my research, and I can't underestimate these guys, man. These guys are a pretty savvy tag team. They're quick. You know, I'm a little bit worried more about them than I am Pinky right now.
They are highly talented. I have seen them on a few.
I want to give these guys credit. I'm highly impressed.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought it was going to be an easy night.
Yeah, they are a very young tag team. They've been showcased on Beyond Wrestling as well. So what's the strategy, especially with that caveman in your corner?
I don't know. Bring a leash, a couple extra doggy bags, and try to work. You know, instead of, you know, you might have to take that caveman for a walk during the course of the match. So maybe Loudy could do that since he adopted it.
Maybe this is Loudy's way.
I don't know
because
if things got fleas or nothing like that. What the hell? It's a caveman, for Christ's sake.
Maybe this is Loudy's way of answering Pinky's challenge of last month when you were in a tag team match against Delirious. So maybe he figured the crazy factor would work there.
Well, see, I don't know if you guys know this yet about the six man, but you know it's not announced. But I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag anyway. The winning team out of the match, if Pinky wins, he gets to choose my opponent for the following On Point show, and if vice versa, if that's so, I get to choose Pinky's. I think that's how it's working. It's like a pick your poison type match. So I'm gonna make sure I win because I have no idea what the hell Pinky would think that I could wrestle, and he would probably, you know, have some kind of crazy opponent for me that might not even have to do anything with wrestling.
That's true.
He might give me the ping pong champion of Korea for all I know.
That is true. I mean, the sexual spider monkey. He is a very unorthodox fighter, to say the least.
Yeah. He doesn't have many brain cells left. So, you know, that's why he wears that hat.
That is very true. Now, let's get back to Tangled Web. The structure. Can you trust Scotty as your tag team partner getting involved in this match?
See, that's a question, and in my opinion, that I had to take into serious consideration. And it's not even Scotty. It's the fact that I could trust Drake. But, you know, Drake has kept his word so far. You know, Scotty's shown his worth, and I know he's fully in against the Nation this time because, of course, you know, TOD. You know, Scotty did take it to Danny Havoc in the finals, and he took it to Lucky too. Whew.
Did he ever? Now, actually, you were the guy who went out there with the tape to tape him up. Was that part of your strategy, maybe, the long-term plan?
No, that was actually sheer concern. I have nothing against Lucky, and I have nothing against Danny Havoc either, but if they want me to step in the ring with them and, you know, do your generic, you know, let's do this next month. No, if they want a piece of me, you know, and if that's what's going to take me to get them more, I got to make a comeback. And I'm hungry, more hungry than it is. And if they're going to step in my way, you know, more power to them. If you know, they walk out, that's fine. If I walk out, that's fine. It's not going to be an easy walk for the Nation.
Now, getting back to that Lucky 13 injury, and this is just kind of like a curious question I have. When you see something like that, are you automatically like, we got to stop this? Or obviously you're the one who started taping them up.
It all depends. You know, referee Chris Levin, who I slapped merrily in the face last month, you know, he's all caught that.
Yeah, I did.
But he threw the match out. You know, and in CZW, you know, if you got to fucking, I mean, you got to, excuse my language, you have to, you know, kind of like, you know, buck up a little bit and, you know, show how, you know, tough you are. And it's you know, you can't be really feather-footed in CZW or just eating alive. Lucky asked me to tape him up. He asked my opinion if the cuts were bad enough that the match stopped the match. And I said, well, we could tape it. It's only another 10, 15 minutes. He said, tape it up. That's the heart. Okay. That's the heart that people used to have in CZW to work there. You know, I don't see much of that in the locker room today. So this Tangle Web main event's going to take it back to 08, and it's going to show the new faces that, you know, we're the Nick Gages of CZW right now. You know, the old heads, the veterans. So we're going to prove to them that this is still a tough company, and there's still tough guys in it.
if you were to, what's the biggest change between the Zandig regime and the DJ Hyde regime? What's the biggest difference since ownership took place?
Oh, whew, man. I was going to save this for the shoot interview, but... I mean, we go to far to say is, you know, more, what's the word I'm looking for? Appreciation towards what you do in a company could be used today. It's lacking that. You know, John made you want to be there. John gave, if you did something good, you were definitely rewarded for it. You weren't, you know, looked over or looked past. Let's put it that way. John, you know, lit a fire under his ass. You wanted to go out there and kill yourself for Zandig.
So kind of like a Paul Lee type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, DJ's a good promoter. You know, DJ knows he's got a good eye for talent. But, you know, motivational speeches are not his specialty.
Yeah, okay.
You don't get a pat on the back, good shit or not like that. You know, you ask him and he's just too busy sometimes, you know. But that's DJ. That's always DJ always was. I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but... You know, there's totally a big difference between them two.
Well, obviously there's been a shift since DJ bought the company away, not really completely away from the death matches, but there's not as much an emphasis. Because when you go to a show now, you'll see, there's not much of a difference besides the one or two ultraviolet matches between, say, a CZW and a PWG, for example.
There's a lot of things involved with that though. You know, you got your occasional death matches. You got Tangle Web every you know 6 months before Cage of Death. You know, so like why always have a death match every show, and you know Cage of Death or Tangle Web or Tournament Death be dead because you know there's been a lack of. He does this for a reason. That's why TOD always sells out. You know.
True.
You can't give them what they want all the time.
Yeah, but a lot of the longtime fans, now, I wouldn't consider myself a longtime fan.
They're getting disappointed,
fan,
I understand the reason, but the shows are still great. There's still some great wrestling on the shows.
I would agree. That last show, I mean, the Bandito Jr. and
best show I saw in a long time.
Yeah, Bandito Jr., Azrael.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining.
Big fan of the Beaver Boys.
I think everybody is at this point.
Shane Strickland is getting... awesome, by the way. His comfortability in the CZW ring is starting to show, and Strickland's my next pick for the future Wired champion.
Oh, okay. So that of course takes place at Tangled Web as well. He's taking on it. No, he's not. He's in a four man. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
He's in a Thanksgiving Day Survivor Series match.
Or is it going to be elimination rules? I haven't heard.
I don't know, but it's reminding me of Team Ultimate Warrior versus. I just want to see one of those big, all four of them standing in the room cutting at their promos.
That
on this Thanksgiving Day.
Brother. But, no, that would be awesome if they actually did that. Because I was talking to Matt off air about how it happened and how it came about and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, it's just kind of like thrown together in a way. You know, you got Strickland on there.
It looks
like
that on paper, and that's exactly what it is. Then. That's the shitty part. And so I read this and went, what the f-? You know?
And I'm like, well, I guess it works. You know, at least everybody's getting a payday. At least everybody's on the card.
It's like DJ went to Maven and went, who's not booked? These guys. All right, just make it four-man tag.
that's kind of what it looks like, but... your last words as we are on really the eve of Tangled Web, what you want to accomplish in that match and what your next step is.
Well, let me ask you a question before I say that.
Okay.
What do you expect out of my return here, Dean?
I would expect to see a return to the old Notorious Drew Blood. The one who, of course, like I said earlier, balls to the wall. And to show, I really think you, because I know you pretty well, I think you have something to prove, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Well, without a doubt. It's been 3 years since I've been in the CZW ring, and I have to prove to the new fans and the locker room that I still have got it. And you know that I'm going to go out there, the cocky, mean, little son of a bitch that everybody remembers, and I'm going to tear it down. If it takes Danny Havoc or Lucky 13 to be in my way, I have to be victorious in this Tangle Web, or there was no reason for me to be back.
Obviously,
point blank range, I have to win.
Yeah, obviously, this is a lot to prove on your shoulders, and of course, we're going to see you throughout. I mean, you're back. You're not a ref. You're back on the roster, and I say congratulations. It's a long time coming, really.
Well, it's going to be a long road ahead. It's going to be enjoyable for some and hell for most. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Not only that, of course, look forward to On Point Wrestling coming back to the Proving Grounds.
Yeah, I hope I have enough time to potty train this damn caveman, though.
That's true. But, Drew, thank you for your time.
Is Tremont on next?
Tremont, for personal reasons, cannot make it tonight.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have Dan.
I can do an interview for you. You want me to do this interview? I could do a really good Tremont impression.
But give me a Tremont.
Let me tell you something, brother.
You know, you want to go up to New Jersey, Atlantic City? We'll go back down here. Joe Gacy, it's time. Hear me, fear me, believe me.
That wasn't bad at all, Drew. But now, if people want to follow you, that's of course Philly Drew Blood on Twitter. Drew,
let
you
me
have
ask
a good
one
night.
More question, Dean. What
oh,
kind of accent
question.
Is that? Because that's not Atlantic City accent. I can't pinpoint what accent that is.
It's kind of a North Jersey.
Yeah, it's like
thing.
I was born
North,
in Newark,
North Jersey,
meets,
Compton. I don't know.
I'm not
going to the Wolfcock.
Yeah,
the Wolfcock, baby.
That's right. But again, Drew, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Gentlemen, I will see you all Saturday. Hopefully, I can impress.
I think you will, but you have a good night.
All right, you guys have a good time, all right? Stop talking about MMA so much.
Any repercussions, Junior Mafia spit clips all the time. Big Papa kicks the war around. Raw flows, and that's how it goes.
This is my nigga singing things. Tamarind King, truck necklace, igloo, ringing things. For the bitches, you see them rims spinning grins. That shit with the bee trimmed and wings. Heavy and large, I'm filled with spurs to rap. On the road to the riches, more furs to drag. More niggas to kill, then birds to bag. Hit the jeweler and slurs to tap.
That was, of course, the notorious one, Drew Blood, as he makes his return to ZZW on the full-time roster.
I miss Big Papa.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great, him coming back like that. What do you think, Dan?
No, I think he's... Well, obviously, he's got a lot of proof, and I think... I don't think he can be stopped.
I'll tell you...
The first time in a long time after talking to him, that's the first time in a long time I've heard that, Drew Blood.
That's true. That's true. I think he's definitely looking forward to it. Definitely has a lot to prove.
Brother.
And I really hope he doesn't try to prove too much, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, that's why I was worried. I'm like, you know, don't prove it all in one shot and then die. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay away from the ironing board. That's my best advice to Drew Blood.
Or stay away from everybody in the ring until they're, and then get them from behind.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Pull a Jerry Lawler. That's all I'm saying. Now, Omega, are you ready?
I am ready.
Because it's about that time.
Drew's going to love it.
Time to end this suffering. I need a minute to myself.
Now, of course, UFC 163 took place from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. 13,000 people were in attendance to watch some controversial things, some things that people expected. I'm not sure, but we're going to start out by talking about, you know what, let's talk a little bit about the prelims, because there was a surprise knockout from Anthony Perosh. I never heard of him. He's from Australia, apparently. And
yeah.
14-second knockout, Omega.
It was impressive. It was a good. It was a really good knockout. It was funny. I just basically just got lucky in the fact that his opponent just walked into his right hand. I mean,
well, there was pretty much no respect from Magalhães as he did walk right in. And you looked at the two. I love some of these foreign fighters because they just don't look the part sometimes. Perosh looks like a guy that they just said, hey, do you want to fight today? And
yeah.
He got in there and he knocked him out in 14 seconds.
Yeah, well, he was like 40, I believe.
He's
so
close too, if not.
He's up there and he's kind of like the janitor. He's like kind of guy. He doesn't look like the type that would be a good fighter.
His nickname is the Hippo, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely. It defies reason. I mean, but, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, looks can be deceiving. Again, we've seen it time and time again where these guys that, you know, look at Roy Nelson, for example, a guy who's completely out of shape, looks like God, is murdering people in the ring. You know, I'm not going to go that far with Perosh here. I mean, I think it's his second fight in the UFC. He gets to 1-1. I think that's certainly admirable. I think it was a interesting knockout. I mean, it was just interesting that Magalhães just walked right into it. Didn't even give himself a chance to play his game. And Perosh did what he needed to do in jumping on Magalhães and finishing him.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. It looks like his last timeout was over a year ago, and he suffered a 7-second knockout. So I guess maybe he learned.
Yeah. I mean,
perhaps he learned something, Omega. I don't know. And he'll be 41 in October, so he's up there. Maybe a Dan Henderson-type comeback.
I don't know about that.
Probably not.
Probably not. But, you know, this is – I mean, he's been around the UFC before. I think it's just his – kind of return after like a year, so he's never made that much noise, but he has won some fights. He beat he got TKO'd by Mirko Krukrop's, probably what he's best known for, other than now that knockout. So
now, of course, we also had in a women's bantamweight match Amanda Nunes defeating Sheila Graf in 208 of the first round. What did you take away from that one?
Well, I think that proved that Nunes is the real deal. I think she looked really good, was able to get the takedown and play her game. Gaff is a strong fighter. She's really strong, has had some really flash, quick knockouts in her career. And I think Nunes proved that she was the better fighter that night, certainly. And I think Nunes has been one that we've talked about before in MMA. She has an 8-3 record. She looks like she's a potentially fighter that we should look towards to maybe challenge for that bantamweight title somewhere down the line. I don't think she's there yet. I don't think Gaff was the type of fight we would expect to see someone to challenge for a title down the road. She does have losses to Sarah DeLeo and Alexis Davis, both people who are probably higher on the rankings overall. So we need to get her a step up in competition and see if she can hack it, or is she going to kind of stay down at this 8-10 range of the rankings? But she looked impressive in stopping Gaff by taking her down and just dropping some ground and pound.
Okay, now, anything else that you see in the preliminaries that you wanted to make a comment of? I know McCall won a fight.
Yeah, I think Ian McCall getting his first UFC win. I think he was the
was definitely the more skilled fighter, the faster fighter in that fight. I think it was a needed win. It was a must win for McCall to really not necessarily to stay around in the UFC, but just to maintain his relevance in the UFC and you know, justify his ranking in the flyweight division at number three. Is he that good? I mean, if he lost to Santos, that, I mean, he would have dropped like a stone down those rankings. He looked good. I mean, that Santos was busy and did manage to land some shots, throw some takedowns and some kicks. But I think McCall had the faster hands, the better movement, and which is unusual because he hadn't shown great movement in previous fights. But he was showing much improved technical skills in this fight, and you know, pretty decisively won the fight, even though it wasn't a dominating win. It was a decisive win, but not, you know, a total destruction.
Yes. Now, moving on to the pay-per-view fights here. The first was a catchweight fight because Lineker could not make weight yet again. That's a big problem for him. But he did win against Jose Maria, TKO on punches, second round, 1:03. I really thought Maria won that first round by my card. He was a little more active, but Lineker came out in the second, and there you go.
No, I agree. I think the momentum was all with Maria that first round. I think he was the more aggressive fighter, landing the better shots. But Lineker, all he had to do was, you know, land that big left to the body, and basically, I don't know if Maria was hurt or was he injured or what, or did that just was that like a liver punch and he went right down. And it doesn't really matter in any case because Lineker jumped on him and pounded him out. I think it was a good call. I think Lineker needs to decide whether or not he's going to be a flyweight. You know, can he make weight? If he can't, then you're going to have to go up to 135 and take your chances there. But, you know, I'm to miss weight by 4 pounds, that's a lot.
It is. It certainly is.
Now, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You don't make weight. What happens?
If it's a title fight, they throw it out, and you give up your purse, I do believe.
You give up a portion of your purse, about 20% usually, I think is the
well, I was speaking title fights. Don't they throw it out because...
It can't be a title. You can still have the fight, but it cannot be for the title.
So if you don't make weight, you still get to get your butt kicked, but they take away any meaning to the fight.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, okay.
And yeah, 20% of the purse, was it?
Yeah, usually 20% of the purse goes to your opponent.
So. Automatically.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, I would say he has a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, this has happened before to him, so...
I'd get up on that, pal.
Hey, I don't know. Maybe
eat a sandwich.
Maybe it's time to move to another division. I don't know. Now, middleweight fight. You say it. Because
how's ladies?
Thank you. Makes his comeback. Tom Watson, though, I thought he had a chance because he was the fresher fight. He had the better cardio going into that third round, but still he lost 30-27 by all judges' scorecards.
I don't think that Watson had the skills to measure up in this fight, and he just looked like the less skilled fighter, and the only thing he had going for him was his cardio. We've seen latest coming back to the UFC now, looked a stronger fighter. He's obviously well-muscled. He looked, you know, really strong. But he did kind of gas there at the end. But there was no question he was landing the better shots, was basically bullying Watson around. This wasn't even a close fight. It was Latus all the way. It's a good fight for Latus to get back in the UFC and really, you know, try to make a statement. But I don't think his the caliber of Tom Watson is necessarily going to lead me down the path of saying he's going to move up the middleweight rankings before again. Especially he's got to find his cardio. He's already lost to Anderson Silva back in 2009, so it's hard to say that.
Yeah.
You know, do I see him going up to fight Weinman or Silva again? No, certainly not. I think he's on the backswing of his
of his career. Let's face it, he's good for a Brazil card, and I don't have a problem with him being on a Brazil card. But you know, I'm not gonna say it was the best fight in the world, or that it was really had any much meaning overall in the middleweight division.
No, not at all. Especially when you've been gone from the USC that long, and you're not going to contend for much of anything. Especially how bad he lost to Anderson Silva back at UFC 97.
Yeah.
The next one I thought should have been submission of the night, Omega. It was Cesar Ferreira taking on Thiago Santos. Guillotine choke 47 seconds in. It was the third fastest submission ever at middleweight.
It was great. It was a rolling
guillotine too.
Yeah, he rolled it over a couple times and then cinched it right in. It looked pretty. I mean, if you want to see a guy who can throw a choke on and make it look impressive, Ferreira really did it with that one. Obviously, that 47 second choke is super fast. You know, I think Santos basically gave it up. You know, he had the chance. I mean, he didn't really do anything with his opportunity, and you know, Ferreira just jumped on Santos, hits him with a few strikes, and just basically just grabs his neck and pulls him down and chokes him out. I thought it was very impressive. I'm interested to see where Ferreira goes from here.
I can agree with that. Now, the next one I think was very controversial, Omega. Phil Davis winning by decision, 29-28 by all the scorecards against Lyoto Machida. Now, the thing that I have to say is I'm not even a Machida fan. I respect the way he fights, but clearly he at least won the first two rounds. I'm not sure how you see it or how you weigh in with it. I'm very curious how you see it.
The scoring on that is so difficult. The one thing I will say is I don't think there was any point in the fight where I thought Davis had a shot at finishing Machida at all.
No, not at all.
You know, the problem was Machida was not being aggressive enough. He was not working his counter strikes. He was not going for he was landing some shots, but he wasn't landing enough shots. Davis was, you know, for lack of a better term, being more aggressive, but I don't think he would be aggressive in my definition of aggressive, but he was, you know, being the more active fighter, taking more chances with the shots. And Machida is just that elusive. It's hard for anybody to connect with Machida. So, you know, but I think if you look at how judges score these things, takedowns matter. You know, just landing the shots, some shots matter, but I think I would have given the fight to Machida. I thought Machida was clearly the better fighter, and landed the more substantial shots.
There was that flurry in the first round that I thought Machida had a significant chance to end it.
Yeah.
So I scored that for him. There was only a takedown by Davis toward the end of that round that amounted to nothing. Second round, pretty much the same. Better takedown defense from Machida in the second round. I didn't think he necessarily controlled the pace, but neither guy really controlled the pace in that one. And then the third round, he couldn't even get a takedown. And in fact, reversed a takedown. I don't know what they were watching. And it makes me angry, but then
they
again...
They were watching Tito Ortiz on TNA, obviously.
But then again, you go back to what Dana White always says, don't let it go to the judges.
That is absolutely the lesson to be had here. You know, I think Machida coasted.
He probably did.
I mean, I think Machida's thought, you know, I can dodge these punches, I can stuff a few takedowns, I can land a few shots, and it's clear that I'm winning this fight. I mean, you know, if we go to a fourth or fifth round, I'll still be basically untouched. But I think what Davis had for Davis was the fortunate timing of those takedowns late in the round. I think in a close round, if you score something big at the end, it puts that impression in a judge's mind to say you won the fight. And I think basically Davis stole those two rounds. Whether I agree with it or not, I don't. I think Machida won the fight. I would give him Machida all three rounds.
I did.
You know, but you know, we've seen, we all know what MMA judging is like. We've seen it time and time again. And if you leave it in the hands of the judges, there is a better than good chance they're going to screw it up somehow and make it, you know.
I mean, there was one judge that actually gave the last round that I think everybody agrees Machida won. One of the judges gave it to Davis. It makes no sense. I mean, the first two rounds, I can see. Perhaps you give it because of one takedown in each round. But I don't get it. Do you think this is a bigger problem, though, that the judging – there have to be significant changes to the judging, I think.
I think there needs to be a better definition of what the weightings are in MMA judging. What counts more? You know, I mean, we have all these things that Goldberg says at the top of every UFC firm, you know, effective striking, effective grappling, aggression, and cage control. You know, what are those things? How are those things weighted? Is stuffing a takedown worth more than a successful takedown? Is being aggressive more important than landing more shots?
Yeah.
You know, right now it's very subjective and it's all left to the whim of the judge. As a result, people are people. People see things different ways. People think things are more important than other things. You know, Joe Rogan likes to talk about leg kicks and how effective leg kicks are in a fight. Those aren't really counted as much as scoring points, really.
Yeah.
You know, there really needs to be a better definition of what is more important. What wins fights? What should be scored higher than something else? And I don't know how. I don't know if I have a good way to do that, but I think that that's what needs to be done. You know,
maybe when we have Bill Bookwater on, he is an MMA referee that I worked with when I did Locked in the Cage. He's coming on September 4th. Maybe we can ask him his feelings about it.
Yeah, I really want to get into that with him. How do you become a ref? What do they tell you when you start becoming an MMA ref as to how you should score rounds?
Yeah.
You know? And when do you make the decision? When is some, you know, there's plenty to talk about there. What is intelligent defense? What is, you know, why do some people get, why do refs sometimes take a point away for the first offense and some refs give them four or five different warnings before they take a point away?
Yeah, like that one fight on Bellator last week. It was crazy. Just one knee to the nuts, and there was a point taken away. So I don't know. But that's a very good question. And September 4th, we'll be able to pick the brain of. He's worked for Bellator, and he's worked for regional promotions as well. So that's going to be exciting, I think.
Yes.
To speak with him about this, and he was actually a fighter as well. Had a 5-3 professional record.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we have the best of both worlds there.
Awesome.
Not only that, we had the main event. And see, we were kind of forgetting about it because it was kind of forgettable. Jose Aldo retains the title when the Korean Zombie couldn't pop his shoulder back in, pretty much, I think, is what led to it. Not really a good fight for the Zombie. How do you see it?
Well, no, it wasn't a very good fight for Zombie. Zombie was giving Aldo all the respect he deserves in terms of Aldo striking, and he wasn't very aggressive at all. He's, you know, you expected him to wade in and try to land punches and eat a few before he overwhelms his opponent, because that's how he basically fights all the other guys he fights. He was tentative, wasn't really throwing much of anything.
Yeah.
You know, he threw a few things, but you never really saw the Zombie that we've come to know. Aldo, on the other hand, wasn't really Aldo either. I think he said that he heard his foot was injured at some point during the fight, but he wasn't very aggressive either. He was landing stuff. He did throw a couple of spinning kicks at the end of the first round. But then it was basically just, you know, Aldo landing a few jabs.
he was really only aggressive, if you want to talk about that. He was really only aggressive at the very end when he saw the shoulder pop, which was very obvious. He threw the high kick right to the shoulder, and then down
like
went
three
the
of them.
Yeah, I mean, and then down went the zombie. So
yeah, I mean, I just don't know what was wrong with Aldo. He just didn't seem very aggressive, and we didn't see any leg kicks, hardly at any of them.
No.
You know, for a guy who's known for chopping down trees with his leg kicks, we didn't see hardly any.
Well, the trouble with leg kicks sometimes, now granted he's a very good practitioner of the leg kick, the trouble is you leave yourself open. So maybe he respected the Korean Zombie's stand-up that much where he didn't want to leave himself open.
And that's possible, but I'm actually leaning towards, I don't know if anybody read the, if anybody saw the news today, but he was just been hospitalized for kidney stones.
Oh.
So, you know, is the question becomes, I know he's had trouble making weight cuts before.
Yeah.
Did he have a bad cut? And was he fatigued? And was he not feeling well? And was his foot was injured? We know his foot was injured because he's got a broken right foot. I think that was came out in the medicals. So I just don't think he was 100% coming into this fight, and I think it showed. But you know, even a sick Jose Aldo is dangerous.
Certainly, and he did win,
and
yeah.
Especially if you're not going to engage. So. He certainly won that.
I think that, and Brian Stann, who did a remarkable job as color commentator, he was saying it best, I think, where he was saying he's doing the worst thing possible, the zombie at this point, by just standing right in front of Aldo. That's all he was doing.
Yeah.
Pretty much all four rounds, well, three plus, that's all he did was stand directly in front, and it did nothing for him.
Yeah, I don't know what he was waiting for. You know, if he was waiting for Aldo to come in aggressive and try to counterpunch him, I don't think that was a bad decision. I think he should have been the one waiting in. Certainly in the fourth round, he needed to be waiting into Aldo and going for broke. Be the Korean Zombie. Eat a few punches on the way in to land your punches, because by that point, there was nothing telling me that the zombie was going to win this fight. Certainly not on points. So I don't know. I mean, but yeah, he didn't. He exactly what Stann said. He basically stood in front of him, and you know didn't move and didn't really do much of anything. No jabs, no punches, not much of anything. And that's really the best all that can be said for it. As you said, a very forgettable fight.
Yeah. Not the best for Aldo and not the best for the zombie, and he really goes – he drops a lot here, I think. His stock really does drop. Now the next big UFC fight night, it's going to be on the very first day of Fox Sports 1. For everybody out there, speed is going away. What?
But where will I get my NASCAR fix?
No, monster truck.
Speed, thank God, is going away. I never watched it a day in my life.
Shut up.
Fox Sports 1 takes over, and I am excited because now I can get my UFC fix.
Oh, good.
I say thank you for finally making a very important decision and getting rid of that garbage nobody watches except him. Now, it's the inaugural night there. That's, of course, August 17th, 2013, and it's headlined by a pretty important fight, I'd guess, where you have, Hua taking on Chael Sonnen.
Good, that'll bring the ratings.
Probably more important for Hua than Sonnen.
But what if Sonnen does win?
What if he does win? I mean, so what? I mean...
Yeah.
Well, finally he has a win. I mean, that's all.
He has a win at 205.
Yeah.
I mean, where is Sonnen in terms of 205? He's already lost to John Jones.
True.
So, you know, sure. I mean, he can headline a card because we know he can talk. Probably more important for Hua to try to get back into the light heavyweight picture. You know, who was coming off his loss to Alexander Gustafsson, who's the next in line to fight John Jones, really has had an up and down run at in the last since he won his title. Since he was the title, he lost to Machida, or he lost to lost to Jones. Sorry. He hasn't had much of a steady win up down wins beats Forrest Griffin, loses to Dan Henderson, beats Brandon Vera, loses to Gustafsson. He's always up at that top level, but he's not able to break through when against the elite.
This is a guy that his best fight was against Silva, the first one, not the second one by any means, not the second one.
Yeah.
But the first Silva fight, and I think he's still really living on that for a legacy.
I mean, he is, it's a 21-7 record. He's definitely had some great fights. Certainly in Pride, he had some great fights. You know, he's living on the Pride legacy more than anything. But he's a very good fighter. I mean, let's face it. He's current ranking right now. He's in the top 10. You say okay, he's still there. A loss to Sonnen probably drops him out of the top 10 now. And then we stop talking about who is as an elite fighter. So really who needs this win against Sonnen? I think he's going to be able to get it, one, because he's due, and two, because Sonnen, despite all his mouth, is not that good at 205. He's much better at 185. His wrestling may be okay, but he's going to have to go up against Hua's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm.
He might be able to grind out a victory, but I think Hua's size is going to play against Sonnen here. I mean, he's going to give up. He's probably given up size. He's certainly given up size. Maybe not weight. It looks like they're about the same height, so it may not be that bad. But I would whether or not Sonnen can make the weight cut to 185 anymore. Is hard to say, but I think he would do better at 185.
Whether he wants to, I think, is the case there.
It probably.
Yeah. And also the return of Alistair Overeem after suspension and some injuries and whatnot, taking on Travis Brown. I think they're just kind of feeding Brown to Overeem at this point.
Yeah, possibly, but, you know, I think we can't look past Brown. Brown has got some good power. And good submissions. I mean, he's a decent fighter. He knocked out Gabe Gonzaga in April, so he's certainly got power. Of course, Overeem's got all kinds of power. And I think, you know, when we talk about elite fighters, I think at least at heavyweight, I think Overeem's still in that conversation, despite all his ups and downs in recent years. You know, is it? You can never discount anybody at heavyweight because throwing those guys around, those big guys that can throw leather, and you know, can really, you know, one punch can knock anybody out. But I really do see Overeem with his kickboxing background is probably going to be superior fighter in this fight, and I would look to see him getting back into the conversation for a title fight. Once we get out of Kane JDS3.
Yeah. Now, also, the return of the Urias fighting on the same card again. It looks like a pretty good card, I would certainly say. So definitely check that out. That's on August 17th, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Hope you see a monster truck commercial.
That is a ridiculously stacked card.
Oh, it is. Well, I mean, it's the first... You know, the return of Lozon, too. So I'm looking forward to that.
Lozon, yeah. Mike Thomas Brown, Matt the Immortal Brown. On the, you know, bunch of fights on here that could go really well.
Might be my introduction into MMA. I might give this a shot.
I hope you do.
I might actually be able to, you know, talk during the segment.
It's all good.
It is, and Dan, here's a chance for you to talk, because I'm going to talk about SummerSlam coming up.
Enjoy.
Now, of course, Kane is taking on Bray Wyatt. It's going to be inside a Ring of Fire.
All right. What is the Ring of Fire? Is it an Inferno match?
I imagine it will be.
Okay, that's what I figured. And they're not calling it an Inferno match. I'm picky. There's been two or three. He's had two Inferno matches already. I mean, why change a name? Other than that, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt, debut as Bray Wyatt.
Obviously, you can't. You mean he was somebody else before Dean?
Yes.
Oh, darn. My only, and this is a small nitpick because you can't light a friggin' human being on fire. Of course, if you ask certain people in the other companies, you can. But
we found that out tonight, yes.
We found that out tonight, apparently. I'm always bummed out by the fact that, he lit his hand on fire. That's, great. But I've always been entertained by these matches, so. My only worry is, they did it in the old Attitude Era. I mean, they're going to have to. Do you think they dumb it down a little bit, or do you still somebody lit on fire?
Well, I think it's dumbed down simply because it's called not an Inferno match, but a Ring of Fire. So
I mean, I do like the play on words better than the Inferno match.
I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't have enough information.
I don't think they've really gone into. They haven't mentioned it much.
Well, it was just announced, I guess, on Raw, right?
I was going to say on Raw, yeah.
Yeah. That's.
But it wasn't like every commercial was like, hey, remember, don't forget. It was like, hey, by the way, there's this.
Yeah, that's coming up in 11 days, too, so they only have a week of build.
Yeah.
I
like the Wyatt family.
I could care less.
That's the only, what else? I don't got anything else on the show right now. I like it. The only thing that bothers me is when he blows out the candle, he also turns it off.
Yeah, I could care less at this point. Omega, how do you feel about the Wyatt
family? I'm still reserving judgment. I didn't see Raw this week, but I mean, I think, I was intrigued initially, but I think the burn has been too slow. I just need to see. I needed them to do something.
Yeah.
Anything other than. Blow out candles and turning off.
Well, lights. I mean, the only way I disagree with that is, I mean, if you do a slow burn, you have more to work with a year from now, or you do a fast burn and it's over, and okay, we'll give them another gimmick.
There's slow burn, but don't you like feed them like jobbers or something?
It's a chopper.
I mean, whatever.
I'm assuming that this is basically, this match is going to be against Kane, is going to be him going over, so he's not a jobber. But at this point, what the hell else is he?
I don't know. I mean, I get slow burn. I'm completely there with that, but I just don't, they're blowing out the candle, for lack of a better term here. It just doesn't seem like they're doing much of anything. It's not any kind of burn at all.
Yeah. It's kind
of
like a bonfire out back of a house in Westville.
All right. And Cody Rhodes will be taking on Damian Sandow in a match no one cares about.
Is it for the case?
I don't know. It doesn't say it is.
Why don't you care?
What,
it's going to be entertaining.
What reason have they given me to care, Dan?
I love Sandow. I disagree.
Hey,
man, you're allowed to disagree, dude.
Yeah, but like I've said previously, I liked his shtick when Leapy and Lanny Poffo did it.
But nobody remembers nobody younger than us remembers Leapy and Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, because he had a much better brother. Oh, yeah, the Macho Man. Which, whenever we play that at the beginning of the show, I can't get over how good that sounds.
Well,
it really sounds like him. Oh, it is. I'm sorry.
Well, no, if you met the guy, dead on. A guy walked past him that was in Hulk Hogan gear, and he called him out. He said, be a man, Hogan.
Did he start doing that very awesome rap song?
No, but he quoted part of it. It was very funny. He goes, I see you need to do a commercial, brother. It was pretty funny. In a tutu, Very funny, very funny.
is your heart, brother. Oh.
Anyway, Alberto Del Rio taking on Christian. One more match for Christian.
See, I don't care about this.
I like Christian.
I have no problem. Christian, I don't have a problem with. I like Christian. He's one of my favorites. I ain't got a problem with Alberto Del Rio.
What problem do you have?
I'm bored.
Very well. Omega.
No, I'm not being a smart ass on that one. He bores me.
I wonder what they're going to do because, you know, he just turned on Ricardo, right? On Roth. I read that somewhere.
It was interesting, yes.
So, I'm with you, Dan. I'm bored with Del Rio. You know, I mean, I kind of want Christian to go over, but I also worry that he's just going to have a title reign like he had last time. And
nobody's going to care.
And nobody's going to care, so, yeah.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah.
You saw Raw.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah. Did you see the match between him and RVD, Del Rio?
No, I didn't.
It just seemed like he was phoning it in, and I don't mean RVD.
Well, did you ever see the fight between Alberto Del Rio and Crow Cop? If not, look it up.
No, but I'm going to have to. Why?
He got knocked silly.
Yeah.
Good.
That's when Crow Cop was something to fear. Anyway.
He sucks, is what you're saying.
Well, in MMA, I suppose he did. But
sucks.
He doesn't really suck. He's a good hand. I don't know what people want out of him. What do you want to? What makes him more exciting?
I don't know. I mean, when his music plays, you're like, yeah. And then he's, oh.
Ever since he stopped coming out with the cars.
Yeah,
I've had trouble, like, wondering, he's just coming out. He did kind of the Mexican gimmick thing there for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then it's kind of gone away since he made his heel turn. I don't know why I care, you know?
I don't know. I really don't feel like defending him. But we got the Best versus the Beast, co-main event, CM Punk taking on Brock Lesnar. Lesnar is, of course, with the services of Paul Heyman.
He's the Beast and the Best.
Well, that's what he said. That's what he certainly said. I personally like that these two are fighting around. I think CM Punk will win by submission, unfortunately. Adding another loss to a rather bad run, I think, by Brock Lesnar since he's come back. Waste of money.
They really need to give him someone just to destroy.
I agree with that.
I know he has a price tag, but just you've got to give something to keep him, you know, the monster.
Yeah, I'm saying you've been in the company all this time. And you had a really boring run.
I agree.
You give him somebody he just beats the crap out of. Or have him just come out at WrestleMania and flip everybody off again.
That would work.
That would work.
It's probably how it's going to end.
Yeah.
because he did it once, why not again?
And I always go back to that. Whenever I'm in a bad mood and I want to laugh, I watch that match.
That match, you know, it's an end of an era in some points.
I really try to like Goldberg, but don't.
Oh, I hate Goldberg. Don't get me started on Goldberg.
Hey, what do you think about Goldberg?
I might have to play the What Grinds My Gears thing, I'll tell you.
Was it the...
Frickin'
Goldberg.
Don't get me started on Goldberg.
Let's not do this, Dan. No, I'm serious. I want to know now, damn it.
He was simply a man who had a certain look, who was pushed to the moon, that never gave a damn about wrestling.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I wanted asking you.
Never gave a damn, made money, and went home, and never cares to this point.
And I was going to say, pretty much just says that, you know, I don't care, and what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to support your shit.
Pretty much, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Goodbye. Fine.
That's what grinds my gears, Dan.
No, I wasn't trying to. I wanted to know. I mean, he's a douchebag.
I stopped watching wrestling. This is a true story. When he won the world title, the Raw title, I stopped watching.
I thought you meant when he was when. You know what grinds my gears, Dean?
What?
63,000 people at the Georgia Dome. On free television versus Hulk Hogan, and he went over.
Well, that doesn't necessarily bother me.
That doesn't bother you?
No, no. I mean, well, during that time when it was a ratings race, I can understand why they made that move.
No, I...
Would you do it now when there's no competition? Of course not.
No. I disagree with that completely. I mean, you know, I don't... That was stupid.
Well, what's the big deal about that? Nobody had anything to say about Luger winning the title and then dropping it at a sold out. Not sold out. He dropped it at a whatever that biker rally was.
Oh, Road Wild.
Yeah.
He dropped it at Road Wild.
Won it on Monday, lost it on Saturday.
Lost it on Saturday. Well, look at they did it to Macho Man twice at the same pay-per-view 2 years in a row.
Well, he won it. He won it and then lost it the following Monday.
That's what I'm saying, but they did it to him 2 years in a row, the same thing. He won it, and then the very next Monday night, he lost it, and a year later, exactly, they did it to him again.
It's like vacating the title and putting it on the same guy like a month later. It doesn't, exactly, but it is what it is. It happens in wrestling so
You know
often.
What? We could just go into three different tangents, so go. Just
exactly. John Cena, the champion, taking on Daniel Bryan. Are we finally going to see a heel turn, or are they just doing it for the match?
I really hope that we do see a heel turn.
I doubt it, but Omega.
I can, you know, wish in one hand, poop in the other, see what fills up first.
Well, who's the heel? Who's going to turn heel?
I would say Cena.
Nah.
He's been playing it up so far, though, that he is the one not to like.
Promo was great.
Finally.
Yeah.
I like it when he has fire.
When you said that, I was like, what? Am I not supposed to like this then?
Yeah. Finally, I like it when guys work on real emotion. There's a lot to be said about that. Maybe he really is upset about things. Maybe he's using that emotion to play up the angle.
No, and I hope he is because, I mean, if you just base on crowd reactions, there's no way, well, I mean, I've been wrong before, but there's no way Brian's going heel, I think.
You never know. I think what will happen, however, is you'll get the old swerve where Brian wins the title. It was an exhausting match. He'll barely just win it, and out comes Randy Orton. Cashes in, wins the title.
I agree.
So they're going to end the show great and then bore us to tears with Randy Orton.
Probably.
That's where I got to, you know. it's going to be the heel turn, yeah, with Orton.
My producer, quote unquote, was given the Randy Orton face off to the side. I apologize. I'm so talented.
I've never felt that Orton is a bad talent. I like him. He lacks charisma, sure, but he is very good in the ring, so that doesn't bother me.
You know, you can be good in the ring and still be boring as a thumbtack.
Well, sure. Everything's a thumbtack with us. Did you notice that? Earlier this week, I tweeted about intelligence of a thumbtack, personality of a thumbtack.
Personality of a thumbtack. I mean, when you're a thumbtack, you are a thumbtack.
It's true.
Back about the heel turn, the point I was making about me being...
Pepper stars.
Wrong was when Austin turned heel at WrestleMania X7, yes. I was shocked. I didn't know that was coming.
But I think that it's either Cena or it's either Orton. Orton is the safe play, shall I say, and they'll probably go with that.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with you.
He's better as a heel anyway. I didn't understand. I don't watch Raw like weekly. It's not like a destination for me.
No.
So when I went to the live show in June, I went to Allentown. I guess it was Raw, a Raw branded event, or I don't know what the hell it was, but
you would see guys fake wrestle.
Orton came out and got a huge pop, and I didn't understand it.
Well, dude, it was like what I was talking to you about.
When did he become a face? I don't know.
Like when I was talking about the live reaction that Cena gets, which I've not experienced. I'm like, oh, okay.
I've unfortunately experienced it a few times.
Yeah, but you can't deny that. Even as dumb as you think people are.
There are a lot of dummies out there.
There are a lot of dummies.
There are a lot of...
And I would never like to see eye to eye with you on that, but yeah.
There are a tremendous amount of dummies. So that's the SummerSlam. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week, but I don't think we have to, frankly, because we...
I was going to say, we've got it. We can do something else.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We previewed both things that are 2 weeks in advance. So.
We could talk about the impact Queen had on music.
Speaking of music, Dan, perfect segue, because I'm going to play the Mystery Men, Blood Will Flow, frankly, because I need a cup of coffee.
And I need to go to the bathroom. Let's do this.
Okay, so this is Blood Will Flow. We'll see you in about 5 minutes.
We'll be right back. Evening, Jeremy, to yonder mystery men.
And it's the Mystery Men with the Blood Will Flow here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Now, Dean, what else? What else we got up on bat for tonight?
Well, originally it was announced that Matt Tremont would be making his return to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. However, he could not make it due to personal reasons.
He doesn't like you.
No, it's not that. Matt and I have a pretty good relationship, I would say.
It's all right.
I don't think it's that. But I reached out to somebody who I think you'll enjoy, if not as much, even better, Dan.
Oh, boy. Stop.
On a long, lonesome highway, east of Omaha, to the engine moaning out his one old song. You think about the woman, the girl you knew the night before.
Chainsaw Joe Gacy. You know what? He is... Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, sir.
No, you're not cutting me off. I would just like to state that just like in the wrestling world and also other companies such as Combat Zone Wrestling, I have taken Matt Tremont's spot, and I'm satisfied and getting comfy sitting right here.
You know what? I tell you, you always have a way to get one up on Matt Tremont. He is so obsessed with you at this point. And what a swerve we have just masterminded here.
Well, you know, it honestly doesn't take that much to outsmart Matt Tremont, to be honest with you.
Hey, you said it, not me. Now,
I'm not digging that hole.
Me neither. Now, you can handle your own battles on that one. Now, you are, of course, involved in... It is a single elimination. Look at that. Eight-man tag. It's Matt Tremont's team of Matt Tremont, Greg Excellent, Shane Strickland, and Devin Moore taking on your team of Biff Busick, yourself, Alex Colon, and Rory Mondo. How do you feel going into that one? Do you think these guys have your back?
Well, here's the thing. First off, I don't know why DJ Hyde has it in his head that I need to keep fighting Matt Tremont. How many times do I have to beat him to prove to DJ and Combat Zone Wrestling that it's over? I'm done. I don't care. I've broken him down, and he needs to just leave the company already, and I need my title shot, first off. Second of all, this match, I mean, with the odds difference being Biff Busick, I've been in the ring with all of these guys. Me and Alex Colon used to have a tag team back in the day when we first broke into the business together. Rory Mondo could care less about, but, you know, whatever.
You keep hearing that. I said, I keep hearing that about that guy.
Well, he's Rory Mondo. That's all I can say. now,
talk
on the other side, you got...
No, go ahead,
Greg
Joe.
Excellent, Matt Tremont, Shane Strickland, Devin Moore. The last CZW show, I'm pretty sure I beat Devin Moore and Matt Tremont in the same match anyway. Shane Strickland, I've beaten him in other companies. I mean, you know, I think Alex Corwin will be on my side only if it's just to fight somebody that's opposing him. I mean, I'm sure he wants to keep up his winning streak here after he won Best of the Best. And you know what? Me and Alex had some differences before, but I'm sure we could put this stuff aside just so we can call ourselves winners. And as far as Biff Busick, he's a tremendous talent that I've been watching ever since he came to CZW. And quite honestly, I think he has a bright future ahead of him, and I know he's going to want the win. So, I mean, honestly, it could come down to them having my back, or could come down to them just not being able to accept a loss. Either way, it's going to go good for me. So, that's really all I have to say about that.
Do you have, like, you brought it up a little bit. You and Tremont, of course, this has been going on for quite some time now. It goes back to January or February of this year. What do you think it's going to take? I don't think it's going to take 8-man tag matches. What do you think it's going to take to finally put this one to bed?
Here's the thing. A lot of people like to go all the way back to last August with me and Tremont when I decided to interject myself into last year's Tangle Web match with DJ and Matt just so I can prove to DJ that I'm a company guy and I deserve a title shot. And I did that, and, you know, I think Matt's been sore about that ever since. But ever since then, as he stated, I've been a thorn in his side, and he has not been able to get the job done. But month after month, DJ just keeps giving him opportunities against me, and I just don't understand. I think, honestly, the only thing that's going to put Matt away permanently is if I end his career. And if that's what I have to do, then I guess that's what I have to do. But as I said previously, not only am I looking to end his career, I want him to suffer as much as possible until I do that.
He must suffer until his last breath. That's what I say. Now, moving on. Sideshow Pro returned on the 27th of July. Now, everything was going well, but at the end of the show, people from Excite Pro Wrestling came and crashed your party. How did that feel?
Well, you know what? As I stated in an earlier interview, it takes a big man to say that he was wrong. And, you know, little did I believe that these guys from New York would actually take a trip all the way down to New Jersey. But, you know what? I have to say, after everything's said and done, obviously, I'm going to kill everyone that knew about that attack, that was involved with that attack, that orchestrated that attack. But being on the other side of something that I am actually very used to doing was a very, very, very bad experience for me. And it gave me a little bit of an outside view on some of the things that I have done to maybe other people at other times. But regardless, this Friday, I actually travel up to Binghamton, New York with some of my Sideshow Pro friends, and we're going to return the favor, maybe even take down Excite permanently, and I can keep that title forever. So, you know, will Excite Wrestling exist after this Friday? Who knows? But all I know is we're going to walk in and create some damage.
Now, you have to defend that Excite title that you won in a tournament. Who are you facing for that match?
I am facing a man named Axel Lennox, who...
You two have a history.
Well, you know what? Our history is a little more unspoken than a lot of people know about, to be honest. We've never met before in a ring. We've passed each other in the locker room, but unbeknownst to a lot of fans out there, my debut match, which was the debut show for Excite, I decided to bring somebody, you could call him a family member, with me, who was in a match with Axel Lennox, and Axel Lennox took it upon himself to bust him open for no apparent reason, and he bled all over the place. And ever since then, me and my Sideshow Pro friends, you can call them, has had a bullseye on Axel Lennox's head for a very long time.
And of course, this is a little more behind the curtain than, shall we say, in the ring.
Uh-huh. And you can say this Friday I'm coming to Binghamton to collect.
Okay, that's a receipt. A receipt, gentlemen. Uh-huh. Dan, that's a receipt.
Yes, I see the receipt. I gotcha. That receipt that we've been talking about, that I don't know anything about.
Exactly. Nobody knows anything. Yes, we're obviously talking about a receipt, Dan.
The only thing worse would be losing your first payday.
Oh, yeah. Dan.
On something like an Applebee's floor or something like that.
Yeah. The only place we were not losing it, but at an Applebee's bathroom floor, who does that?
Yeah. Obviously, it's the above-average comedian. Now.
What?
Now, moving on. So, you're going up to Excite. You're going up to Binghamton, out in the middle of nowhere. Johnny Moose, a bunch of other people. You're bringing who? I know Niles Young is going to be there with you. Are you bringing DJ
Niles
again?
Niles Young's coming. You know, the thing about DJ is I don't really consider him a part of my friend circle, so to speak, but DJ takes it upon himself to show up there. I mean, he got on the show last time.
Nobody does.
Yeah, that is what DJ does, but the last time DJ just showed up, he got on, you know, with his own powers, that be, whatever, and he decided to stand in the ring with us at the end of the show when we pretty much decimated the whole roster. I mean, he'll be there this Friday, and he is fighting one of the men that was responsible for jumping me at Sideshow Pro. So is DJ on our side? Who knows? But I do know that DJ does like to hurt anybody in his way, and currently everyone that's in his way is also in our way. So you can call him some kind of protection that maybe me and Sideshow Pro can stand behind. But
now, one great thing that did happen at Sideshow Pro, the death of Cluck Norris by the hands of DJ Hyde. A long time coming, I say.
Yeah, there's been some reports about Cluck. Nothing official yet, but from what I'm hearing, he could be done wrestling permanently.
Such a shame. He was such a superstar. And the chance that the creative fans come up with when he's in the ring.
Well, you know, when you have some kind of karate master takes his time out of his life to teach a chicken kung fu, that's never going to end well for somebody.
That's very true, Joe. Now, I want to shift gears now to New Moon Rising Wrestling. And, of course...
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
You, for some reason, and I'm going on the record here, I don't agree with it, but for some reason, you're taking on Crazy Ivan. Why did you target? What happened there?
Well, first of all, you know as well as anybody else, this is the first time me and you have talked since the last New Moon Rising show. I don't care what you tell people.
Did you buy him a new pair of glasses yet, Joe?
No. I did not buy him a new pair of glasses. Because I think he can see just fine, but what he needs to see is that I'm not a brainless muscle machine. You see, I do make decisions, and I do what I want to do. And at that exact moment, I wanted to go out there and cost Matt Saigon his match, and Crazy Ivan, or whatever he called himself, decided to get in my way, so what else was I supposed to do?
Well, I'm just saying, Joe, of everyone to target on the New Moon roster, I mean, come on, I brought in the Mass Maulers from Belarus, and you call that a joke of a
you
match?
You know what? I'm not going to even talk about the Mass Maulers right now. I'm in a very comfortable, relaxed state, and if I talk about the Mass Maulers, I fear that I'm going to say some things that I may regret.
But I bring
just
in
shut up, Dean.
No, I bring in the Mass Maulers as an exhibition match, the Carnival of Carnage.
Oh boy.
And this is my thanks. A joke of a match, he says.
Hey, Joe, like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly
I,
what
I,
was.
I would like to point out that I didn't endorse anything he just said.
But
I don't
getting
think
back
anybody endorsed this.
But getting back, Joe. Getting back to what I'm the point I'm trying to make here is of all the people, yes, of all the people on the roster, why Crazy Ivan? Of all the people out there,
who's he going to fight? Matt Tremont?
Well, first of all, some people have some kind of strange reaction anytime Crazy Ivan walks crazy Ivan walking by them in the locker room. And you know what? For me being brand new to this company, I tend to find the biggest dog and put them down to become the biggest dog. And you know what? After I took out the heavyweight champion Tank Tolan, the only other person that was formidable to be called a big dog is Crazy Ivan. So as soon as I do to Crazy Ivan what I did to Tank Tolan, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to open their eyes and realize that who they're messing with, and they need to realize that I should be the New Moon Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
I thought you already were. Quite frankly, in my mind, taking out Tank Tolan, nobody else has been able to do it.
You didn't pass.
You did.
Speaking of, you still have not gotten me a rematch for my championship that I never lost. So
well,
if you're supposed
Monty.
To be working out some deals, instead of bringing me two masked bronies from God knows where, you need to be figuring something out for me to be wrestling Matt Saigon.
Well, let me put it this way. I did go to the board, and I said, hey, how about Gacy Saigon? They said no, because he was attacked after the match, and we automatically have to go and give the match to the person who was attacked.
Hashtag shoot.
So, there you go. I did my due diligence. I tried to do it. I tried to sign on the dotted line, but I found the fearsome mass maulers instead. And I thought that was a perfect exhibition for you. You threw them around like ragdolls.
Well, you know, after I threw them around like ragdolls, I didn't mean to break a sweat, Dean. Dean, I need competition. Dean, I need something to beat. Dean, I need a heavyweight championship.
Perhaps after the winner of Saigon. I'll go to the board first thing tomorrow morning. Because
you don't even need to bother. You know what? You don't even need to bother going to the board, because regardless of what their answer is, I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands.
I like the sound of that. It's probably the best way to get things done there. The board can be rather thick-headed. Anyway.
Seems to be. The board doesn't know what they're doing, and when I come in and do what I need to do, they're going to regret every decision that they've made up to this point.
Is it that the board is as thick as a board?
Oh,
see, the problem with this board is they already realized that they lost Tank Tolan. I put out the heavyweight champion, and they're just going to take this belt. Not only after I get DQ'd, disqualified for something that wasn't even my fault.
A terrible call,
in my opinion. They just eliminate me from this tournament and decide to put this championship on Matt Saigon. First of all, Matt Saigon has the personality of a piece of wood. Okay?
Maybe that's why the board likes him.
It could be. But that board needs to open their eyes and realize that that can only get him so far. Because even if he makes it out of that match with Kikoa, I'm coming.
I certainly like the sound of that. Now, Joe, I'm going to switch gears again. Because,
wait.
What?
No, never mind. Go ahead.
I'm going to switch gears again because, of course, tomorrow's a very special day in your life. And to try to get you and I back on the same page, I put this together. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Have fun, Joe.
And when it comes time to light the candles, if you have candles on the cake, it's important for an adult to do that. In fact, matches and fire are things that nobody should ever be able to play with. The reason why grown-ups do their best to keep children away from fire is that they love them, and they don't want them to get hurt. Even when you're blowing out the candles on a cake, it's important to keep far enough away from the burning candles so that they won't burn you. Let's pretend that this is a birthday cake, and we'll sing a new birthday song. Happy birthday, dear friend, we sing to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. We thought we'd try to tell you how we love you on your birthday. We thought we'd try to sing and dance and play today. We wanted to surprise you on your birthday and say we love you every day, not just today.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, dear friend. We sing to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. And if it's your birthday, happy birthday to you.
So, Joe, happy birthday.
Is that Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay. Just wondering. Well, thank you.
I just want to say happy birthday, Joe Casey.
I'm trying to get on the same page with you, Joe. I don't like it.
I'm sure he was thinking Mr. Rogers is what I want.
Well, you know, a lot of people nowadays apparently blame Mr. Rogers for how our generation has grown up to become nothing.
What, pansies?
Well, not exactly. I watched this report, and this is probably going completely away from what we were just talking about, but I find things like this interesting sometimes, that because Mr. Rogers never motivated children to become what they to chase their dreams, so to speak, he told them they were already all special. That they believe that created the generation of slackers that's ruining our country.
I know I'm special, Joe.
Mom says I'm special all the time.
Well, Ian, you know, if I show up to New Moon and you decide to bring some guy dressed as a cake and some guy dressed as a candle and make them fight them, I think we're going to have some words.
Thank God it's just words, though.
I have.
So I send that shoot back to the mail, huh?
I have a great idea, Joe. And
if I find somebody called the cake mauler, I'm going to maul something.
But very well. So hopefully, Joe, after tonight, we are back on the same page.
Dean, you think we get our money back?
I don't think he'll get his money back.
No, I don't. I got nothing. I was just going to say that I was advised that it was in my best interest to wish you a happy birthday, so happy birthday, Joe.
Well, thank you.
No Mr. Rogers here.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm trying to get back on the same page with Joe. So you have a lot of upcoming things, starting with Friday. Of course, you have Excite Wrestling, Saturday CZW at the Skate Zone in Voorhees. And then the following week, you and Crazy Ivan. I still don't agree with it, Joe, but hey, if you got to knock off the big dog in the yard, I'll be there. I'll be there with you.
Also,
you know?
Also,
yes.
If I could add something real quick.
Sure.
It has not been announced yet, but it has been just confirmed before I made this phone call that the weekend of New Moon Rising Wrestling, I will also be at the Combat Zone table at the Monstermania convention, and I will have Joe Gacy t-shirts for sale. So you can come by, hang out, maybe buy something, and say hello.
Where exactly is that table? Because I tried to find it last time I was at the Monstermania convention. I couldn't find
it. It's near the back.
It changes every year. It's always in a different place.
Okay. Well, I'll have better glasses on because I had to buy a new pair thanks to you. Now, Joe, what do you mean? I got in the ring and I said, "Hey, what are you doing against Crazy?" And I get shoved. My glasses went 10 feet in the air.
You're the manager, not his boss.
Why was he getting involved? I'm sitting there on commentary with you.
Why are you getting involved?
Oh, and Dean, where were you when Crazy Ivan hit me with a cake?
I was actually in the crowd.
Well, because of you, I had cake all over me, all over my trunks, all over my boots, and oh my God, I wanted to kill. You know, I think since it is my birthday tomorrow, I think I'm going to bake a cake. And at new moon rising, I'm going to slam that cake into Crazy Ivan's face hard and repeatedly so much that I think Crazy Ivan is going to be on Wikipedia murdered by cake.
Wow.
You know,
I think I lost my words at the end there.
That's okay. I could do that right now. We don't have to worry for that. I can just edit.
Well, you have to start a whole new entry for.
That's okay. Crazy. I got plenty of time.
But just that
like
being
that
said, you know.
Inferno thing that happened.
One thing I the last thing I want to bring up is lack of respect that you receive from the New Moon Rising Wrestling fans. Now, you're a guy who took out the champion first night there. You're a guy who has shown how he can battle against fearsome brawlers in the Mass Maulers. I mean, and you still don't get any respect. Let's talk about respect.
If you bring the Mass Maulers up one more time, I'm going to be angry.
I apologize, sir.
Shut up. That's what he's trying to say.
Well, let's talk about respect. That's my question. I mean, what do you feel you need to do? Or is it even something you don't have? Do the fans just have to realize who you are and what you're doing?
Well, here's the thing. These fans don't know anything, okay?
True.
Some of them, they're very fickle because, you see, the last show I came out and they cheered for me. They cheered for me, Dean. I don't know if you heard that, but that crowd went crazy when I came out.
I went
crazier when I destroyed your stupid Mass Maulers.
Don't get mad.
But when I decided to come out and interject myself into Saigon and Crazy Ivan, well, it seems like they may have maybe changed their mind. That's the only thing I don't get about wrestling fans today is they have no loyalty. They're very fickle. They like their attention span is like 2 seconds long. They like this and then that. They all have ADD, I swear. I think wrestling fans are just like a cat.
I certainly agree. A very
I'm hungry for pickles all of a sudden.
A very dumb cat. And he said fickle, Dan.
Stupid cats.
Yes. They're stupid, dumb.
Stupid little
feline. As far as respect, I don't think these wrestling fans even understand the word, considering that they have no respect for themselves as it is. So, do I care if these fans respect me? No, I don't. But I do command respect everywhere I go. So as far as these fans, I could give two craps on if they respect me. But the New Moon Wrestling roster needs to respect me. Because if they do not, then I'm going to have to beat respect into every last one of them. Like your Mass Maulers, they came in flexing their muscles that did not exist, and I had to beat respect into them.
I think
they're
dead.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that ever again.
No, I'm pretty sure they're dead. Although that one just keeps calling in.
Well, I do keep in touch with the best of Belarus, as I like to say. And they're doing quite well.
You're such a chance.
But all that said,
well,
Joe, thank you.
Again,
go ahead.
Really bad.
I'm going to point them out
again,
to you the next.
I'm going to rip them limb from limb and then beat them to death with their own arms.
Actually, I would like to see that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty interesting and entertaining.
I'm a very sick and sadistic person. I would love to see that. Now, Joe, I do want to thank you for your time. You enjoy your birthday tomorrow. Have a good one. On me. I'm not paying, though.
On you.
But, well, no, not on me. I took it back.
He doesn't have anything to.
I really don't.
I thought you were trying to get on the same page with me, Dean.
Well, I'll see you in Atlantic City tomorrow, then. How's that?
Okay.
But that said, you have a good night, sir, and I'll see you soon.
All right, I'll talk to you.
See you, Joe.
And I'm going to look back at him and whisper, no. Yeah.
All right, so of course.
I'm just saying, I'd be careful if I were you.
You know what? He warned me. He said, "Don't bring up the Matt Smallers again," and I didn't.
Yeah, but he did. So I wonder if he's just beating himself right now. never mind. I realize what I've just said.
Oh, Dad.
Oh boy.
That's another one. Another one for. So guys, we had a great show. I think we talked about a lot there, didn't we?
I forgot.
Yes, we did.
The only thing else we can really bring up, but we already talked about it, is of course this Saturday is Tangled Whip and the return to the Skate Zone.
I'm looking forward to these two amateurs live tweeting that show again. It'll be fun.
Very well.
Don't you feel, fellow amateur?
It very well could be, but that said, we're going to have a Tangled Web match, and that is the Nation of Intoxication's Danny Havoc and Lucky 13 taking on Scotty Vortex and Drew Blood in the, I think my chair just broke.
The hell that was?
Yeah. Jesus, what the hell is going on with that? Taking on...
Just trying to send you a clear message, sir.
Scotty Vortex and Drew Blood. Yeah, like he has a voodoo doll of a Staples chair.
I believe
it. Matt Smallers.
Matt Smallers. You said it one more time. Watch this. You felt that. You feel that?
I felt it. Now, so that's, of course, the Tangled Web. And what a return for Drew Blood. We talked to him in a lot about that.
I really, like I said, I really hope he doesn't kill himself. Like...
CZW World Heavyweight Champion Masada defends against the number one contender Drew Gulak, and Gulak defeated Tommy Dreamer to get those to get that match. I was waiting for you to say something about Masada.
I was just
still the voodoo doll with the chair.
No, I was.
Is that still on your mind?
No, I was just gonna repeat myself about the damn knee thing, but you know, I've said what I said. Like, I still can't believe he's performing right now.
Now, just announced, Dan, the World Tag Team Champions Blackout with Robbie Marino, who will be our guest next week. They are going to face the returning Osirian Portal, and of course, that is Amasis and Ophidian.
Yes! I can't wait to see that. Let's go for new Tag Team Champion.
It's very interesting. When Ophidian was on here last week, he did bring up that he was going to go see DJ Hyde, and he was going to bring up this match, and he wanted the match, and of course there was a promo.
Oh, yes.
That came out, and he got his wish.
I don't know. Ophidian asked me a question or demands something. Not that he's a big guy, but I just seems like saying no to him is a bad idea.
Most likely a very bad idea.
All right, I'm going to kill you then. Oh, well, I'm going to run.
Now, this is a first-time match coming up, Dan. It is, of course, the CZW Wired TV champion. That's A.R. Fox, and he's defending against the former Chiva kid, Andrew Everett. Stop, I'm moving right along. The rematch, Dan. Four Loco, Bandito Jr., and Azrael, of course, with the lovely Chrissy Rivera taking on the Beaver Boys, and that's Johnny Silver and Alex Reynolds. How do you top last month?
I can't. I'm sorry, Dean.
It's okay.
You can't. You really can't top last month. It'll be fun to watch inside and out in the ring. Thank you.
Shane Hollister. He will take on Caleb Conley. Single elimination, 8-man tag. It's Tremont, Excellent, Strickland, and Devin Moore taking on Busick, Gacy, Cologne, and Rory Mondo. And Rory Mondo, I guess he was right about the respect thing, because we had two guests on tonight, and they both could care less.
Yeah, screw you, Mondo. Well, that's real nice. He was nice to us.
He was nice.
He was nice.
I don't
and
know.
We've blown that bridge.
No, not at all. It just proves his point, I think.
Actually, I really think if he hears this, it's just going to light a bigger fire under his ass. He might actually hurt somebody. Just light him on fire. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that pun. I know you and fire don't get along very well.
And also, this was just announced. JT Jun takes on David Starr. This is the product David Starr. He's involved with Sunny. That's his girl.
What?
Yes, and he's made a name for himself. Of course, he
should stop the whole poop and where you eat thing.
But he's, I'll tell you what, he has been making a name for himself on the independent scene. He has wrestled for On Point Wrestling, for Riot Pro, for a bunch of different promotions across the greater Northeast. Went down this weekend to the NWA Fan Fest, met with some old-timers, and I'll tell you what, he's making a name for himself, and this is his first match in CZW.
I guarantee if I slept with Sonny, I'd make a name for myself.
But he takes on JT Dunn.
Whatever.
Yeah, JT Dunn. And Nevaeh is going to...
Yeah, I'm sorry, who is JT Jones?
Dunn. I'm not done with it, but that's the last name, not Jones. It's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. No disrespect. Have I seen him on the show?
No.
Okay.
You haven't. And, of course, this is coming from last month. The Chris brothers are suspended by DJ Hyde for that cake incident. And
is that why they're suspended, or is it because it was so exciting?
No, that's why they're suspended. They embarrass the boss. And you don't do that. You don't do that. So DJ Hyde's choice, Nevaeh, who is also, of course, with Ohio Is for Killers. There you go. It's DJ Hyde's choice. Who will she wrestle?
Who's an option?
Well, WSU is during the day, so God knows, Dan.
Kimberly.
I don't know, Dan.
I'm just trying to throw guesses out there.
It could be Kimberly. Could be Jessica Havoc. She will be in the building.
Yes.
She's not in the building?
She's not in the building. Damn.
No. But WSU, of course, the doubleheader starts at 4 p.m. at the Flyer Skate Zone.
That's pretty... you know what? I really think the Skate Zone is becoming the new the new Philly wrestling mecca.
Yeah, it could be.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's not pretty good. You want to go in my car? You like my car?
But let's talk about a few of those matches that have been announced. 2 out of 3 falls for the WSU World Championship. It's Jessica Havoc taking on Athena.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
First time ever, Dan.
I'm unfamiliar. I apologize.
Jenny Rose will be taking on Masada's fiance, Christina Von Erie. Determine the number one contender for the WSU title, Nevaeh takes on Lexus. To determine the number one contender for the WSU tag team titles, and Kimberly doesn't like this one. She put out a promo earlier in the week.
That I saw.
Kimberly and Annie Social, they're known as the cunts. You heard me right. Taking on Veda Scott and Jesse Brooks.
How ironic. So are we.
And the Uncensored Rebel will be taking place as well. Also scheduled to appear, former guest Addie Starr, Sassy Stephanie, and a host of others will be in the building.
Is that an iPay-per-view?
Yes.
I guess I know what I'm doing Saturday.
Starts at 4 o'clock. That's bell time.
Sweet.
And followed up with a 7:30 bell time, but wait, it's CZW time. 8:10 bell time.
So I was
going to
say, look, they're 9:30.
9:30 bell time.
And the last match will start at midnight.
Oh, that's what happened last month.
I know.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, God forbid we mention it.
So that is, of course, this Saturday, and it should be one hell of a day with the deadly doubleheader.
That's going to be great, though, man. If you're a wrestling fan and you're tired of the other crap, it's cheap. What is it, $30 for both?
I think it's less. It might be, I don't know. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know how much tickets are for, I know CZW general admission is $20, so. If you go in, the iPay-per-view, however, is a steal at $10. So there's that.
I think it's for as low as the price it is and the amount of action you're going to get, I think it's worth it. What else are you going to do on Saturday? Go outside? No.
Who goes outside?
Who goes outside? It's too hot.
So that's coming up this Saturday, and you can go to CZW iPay-per-view for more information. Actually, IPPV for more information.com. For more information about that, should be, like I said, a really good show. And speaking of a really good show, we had one tonight. We had Drew Blood. Follow him at Philly Drew Blood on Twitter. We also had the surprise guest of Joe Gacy, and you can follow him, strangely enough, at Joe Gacy.
It's weird.
Yeah. On Twitter. You can also follow the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow the Twitter, HIACTalkRadio. The Facebook is Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. Follow me at Folsom County. Now, Omega, do you have anything else that you want to get across, want to talk about?
No, I think I'm good for this week. We'll talk more next week about the UFC on Fox Sports 1.
That is true. That's the first time.
The first time ever.
I'm telling you right now, they take the monster trucks off, I'm going to be so pissed.
They're still going to have NASCAR. I know that.
I don't care about NASCAR. I want to see rednecks with big tires.
Fair enough.
I drove for 20 years. I've been doing this, and I'm fast.
Dan, how about yourself? Where can people follow you?
You follow me at DanLaw83.
I'm, of course, I'll be remiss if I didn't bring this up. Next week, we, of course, have two great guests, the returning Bandito Jr. to talk about his travels on the independent scene. He, of course, has wrestled a few times since last time we talked to him, a few times for New Moon. He is also the last show ever for CTWE.
Let me tell you something. Trying to call one of his matches is almost damn impossible because I was trying to watch it.
Well, you have to, you have to do your thing.
I think it came off well, but I was like,
But, of course, he's been around, and I think the bigger news in that, Dan, is the last time ever CTWE going out on top. No more shows from...
Yeah, what's the deal?
I don't know. I know. We'll ask him next week.
Okay.
Why they're going out, I don't know. Bandito was a pretty big deal there. Of course, I think the match of the year from last year was Bandito against Adam Cole from that promotion. So, very good match.
What's wrong with those guys?
Yeah, very good match.
Really can't.
And that was the first time they ever wrestled.
Jesus. Yeah. That I did not know.
You should have, because Adam Cole told us that was the first time they ever wrestled last December when we had him on.
It all blends in at one point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose so, Dan.
Who do we have on today?
You're such a jerk. But that said, Robbie Marino, the Wild Sicilian, will also be on next week, and I'm sure he has a lot on his mind. I'm not calling it a shoot series, but he might have a few things to say.
I tell you what, the next couple of weeks on this show are going to be pretty crazy. I mean, we got two shoot series in a row.
Of course, the first one is on the 21st, Dan, and that's with the Knight Rider, Robert Knight.
That alone... worth the price of it. We should be being paid for that one.
Then the following week, Niles Young from CZW. He's still Niles Young to me, damn it.
Well,
he will be here to talk about a few things, get a few things off his chest.
That is going to be a shoot series. So we're going to get the first three in a year.
You know where this came from, Dan?
No, I meant to ask you, and...
I'll tell you right now. The one match I'm really looking forward to, there's two matches this weekend for CZW that I'm really looking forward to. Of course, the Assyrian Portal coming back, taking on Blackout for the champions. However, Suzio did not enjoy that, and we'll get into more details about that.
Ah.
That's where this all started.
Gotcha.
So
is this shoot on everybody kind of thing?
It very well might be. He says he has nothing to lose. So I don't know. He may
been there before.
He may be burning bridges. I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
Out.
You know what? When I ask people to come on and for this, I always ask them about a week out. Are you sure? Now, Robert, I'm not going to ask because I already know.
He's
going to say.
Yes, we're sure.
But when we did it with Aaron, I was like, are you sure? Are you sure? You want to go through with this? Are you sure? Are you sure? So I always ask. With Niles, I'm going to say, are you sure? And I'm sure he's going to say, yeah, let's do it. So I'll tell you, it should be very interesting, and that's going to be followed up on the 4th of September with Bill Bookwater, MMA official. And Omega, I know we already talked about it a little bit, but I know we're both looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be very interesting.
Yeah, just different things that they're looking for. Of course, he has the best field of vision in there. So what exactly is he looking for? And the fact that he was actually a fighter beforehand, I think that might give him a unique perspective on things.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know that some of the better refs in the business have been fighters like Herb Dean. So
yeah, certainly. But I'll tell you, it's been one heck of a week. We got the next month booked. And, of course, in the middle of all that, we're going to have a live pre-show on the 17th of August as we break down.
Woohoo!
As we break down New Moon Rising Wrestling Fight.
Do I get cake?
I don't know. Apparently Joe's baking a cake for Crazy Ivan.
Crap.
I don't know what it is with cake and wrestling these days, but...
It's always somebody's birthday.
Well,
cake.
True. It is true. There are always birthdays. In,
you know what? Actually, I changed my mind. I don't want any cake.
Why don't you want any cake?
Because usually it doesn't end up getting eaten.
Well, you ate a piece last... I have the video evidence that someone...
That's true, yes. I did eat that off the... I think it was right off your hand.
Off the floor?
Off the floor, into my mouth.
Hey, it was chocolate.
It was good. And I've always said this rule, even as a kid. There's no rules for chocolate.
That's true. That is very true. But, of course, follow us on Twitter as we try to get to 300 followers. Go ahead and do it. Just like it.
Just like it. You don't
if
have to
you listen to the show tonight.
You don't have to friggin' like it. Just like it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Just hit follow. I'm tired of all these fake accounts liking us, and then they get suspended 3 days
Seriously.
Later.
What the frig?
You're really not from Denmark, so stop.
No, you're not.
Just stop it.
That's not your picture. I saw that in a porn magazine.
I didn't, but Dan has a better knowledge of it.
You know.
So until next week, when we are joined by Robbie Marino and Bandito.
Hey.
And we'll get to talk about the rematch with the Beaver Boys with Bandito next week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
What the hell?
Wow.
August 1 morning?